I'm so glad you guys are all here. All right, so Shabbos falling on Erev Pesach. So the first thing that I will say as we get started is I'm imagining many of you, as I'm guessing from the number of comments that I got about this class, are uptight, nervous, not sure what's coming as far as how this is exactly going to work. I was as well when I started preparing it. It was sort of overwhelming. I think you will find, as I have at the conclusion of this, it's really not all that bad. All of you will be just fine. I tried to organize it in a way that we're just going to take you through the days from Thursday through Friday through Shabbos through Saturday night, what needs to be done and how and when. I do not think you'll find this tremendously overwhelming. Hopefully a lot of it is intuitive, but just in terms of figuring out how and when things are done, and we'll take it from there. The problem, of course, as you know, is as follows. Usually Erev Pesach has an entire set of halachas unique to Erev Pesach regarding both when chametz is allowed to be eaten, when chametz needs to be destroyed, when chametz needs to be nullified. There's, of course, the fast of the firstborn, which takes place before Pesach. There's a whole series of laws, and when Pesach falls out on a Saturday night, in the case as it does this year, so the day before Pesach, being Shabbos, has many of the restrictions which don't allow for the general procedures to take place, and things are moved around and changed, and various difficulties arise. So we'll go through the process as to how things work, some of which I'm sure you already know, some of which might be new, but you'll feel more comfortable and confident at the end of the night because you'll have been through it all, and you'll see that you can handle all of it. The great vacuum of the unknown, exactly how are you supposed to do something, always makes it much more difficult. I'm just going to move the shtender up. I feel so removed from all of you, from where I am back here. Nope. I learned from last time. You only make that mistake once. Okay. Yeah. Alright, let's start from the beginning. Thursday night. So, really, I guess I would almost say Thursday day, really, with the fast of the firstborn. The fast of the firstborn normally takes place on the day before on Erev Pesach. That morning of Erev Pesach is when we begin the fast of the firstborn. Erev Pesach, of course, would be on Shabbos. So you can't fast on Shabbos, so we'd move it back a day to Friday. You can't fast on a Friday either. We don't like you going into Shabbos totally famished. Almost, there's only one particular fast that would take place on a Friday. All the years, anytime a fast was on a Friday, we push it off. So the fast of the firstborn is pushed all the way back to Thursday morning. So any firstborn sons or husbands, fathers, whatever amongst you, so that fast takes place on Thursday morning. That's when you would have to go to shul to hear a siyum if you didn't actually want to fast. That's when that would take place. That's fairly straightforward. Bedikas chametz, moving right along. So bedikas chametz generally takes place the night before Pesach. That night, we all know you clean your houses, you go through with a candle, there's a special bracha that you make as you go through the house cleaning and making sure that nothing is there for Pesach. All of you know, of course, that the house really needs to be cleaned before you start the bedikas chametz. This is just the formal making sure that there is nothing there in the house that is chametz. So that, which otherwise would have taken place on Friday nights, which would be the night before Pesach starts, obviously that can't be done, you can't use your candle, you can't make sure that everything is clean, so that's pushed back to Thursday night. Even though it's being done on Thursday night, you still make a bracha, that's the time that it is supposed to be done. Thursday night, all of the halachas that apply, things should stop as soon as it turns into nightfall, that's when the bedikah should be done, the house should be ready, which means you are basically chametz free already Thursday night. Because Thursday night you're doing bedikah, Pesach doesn't start till Saturday night, and you still have all day Friday, and you have all day Shabbos. Parts of those days you can eat chametz, and you will be eating chametz, yet your house has to be at a point where you can do a bedikah, you can check through the whole house, and any chametz that you know about is in a very specific, secluded area, because you're going to already have done your bedikah Thursday night. If anything happens post-Thursday night, one of the kids gets into the chametz bin, then the whole house needs to be checked through again. So that is the point already where the house is chametz free, basically. And when I say that, I want to be very careful. Not that it's really chametz free, because you're allowed to have chametz in your house, but it needs to be in a very clear, secluded, isolated little bin. This is where my chametz is, because Thursday night already we're doing the bedikah. Now, Generally, every year after a Vedika, every year Pesach time, there are two nullifications of chametz which take place. Two times it's known as the Kol Chamira, which is the Aramaic word for all of the chametz, all the leavened products. I nullify, I don't want to have any part of it. The reason why we do this is because there's a specific prohibition in the Torah of owning any chametz, not just eating chametz, which is certainly prohibited, but it's not even allowed to own chametz. So the sages enacted a two-pronged attack to make sure that we don't violate any problems on Pesach. On the one hand, they made us do a bedikas chametz. They made us search our homes and make sure that there's no chametz lying around so that we wouldn't come to find any of it, we wouldn't come to eat it. And they also established that we nullify the chametz, that we verbally declare that I want nothing to do with this chametz. I view it ownerless. It's not mine. I'm not interested in it. Because of the way that Pesach will come out this year, the nullifications are going to happen in a little different set of ways than they normally happen as we'll go through. But the first stage, generally, we nullify chametz twice. And the reason I want to spend time on this is because it's important. Even though the statement is in Aramaic, it's very important that it's understood by whoever it is that's saying it, whether by the husband, by a wife, by the children. Everyone needs to take part in nullifying the chametz that they want nothing to do with whatever it is that they have. It should be said in English or any language that a person understands. And we say it twice. We say it at night after the nullification, and it's said again generally on right before Erev Pesach, right before the chametz becomes forbidden to us. It's nullified again, which we'll talk about that in a few minutes.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Okay. We'll get there. So the nullification is said at night following the Vedika, which a person says, any chametz that I know about, I no longer want anything to do with. The only thing I'm keeping, it's very clear if you look at the text, you're nullifying that which you don't know about, because that which you do know about, you're purposely holding, because you still need to eat it the next day, and you still need to eat it over Shabbos. But that nullification is said following the Vedika, and that basically takes care of Thursday night. Everything is simply moved up a night, and we do the Vedika's chametz on Thursday. Okay, Friday morning begins to get to some of the major distinctions because of the nature of the halacha. We have bir chametz, the burning of the chametz. Yeah.
But the bedikah has to be done during the day.
At night, must be done at night.
At night, and
must be done at night. If a person is not going out of town for chametz, then it must be done the last night that you'll be in town. Someone who's leaving on Wednesday afternoon, say to go away for Pesach, so Tuesday night they would have to do the bedikah. Anytime you do the bedikah, except for the specified time, which this year is Thursday night, you would do the bedikah without a bracha. So the person who's leaving on Wednesday, for example, to go away for Pesach, would do the bedikah on Tuesday night, check through their house, and they are required to do that, but they would not do so with a bracha since they're not doing it on the appropriate night, which is Thursday night. Burning of the chametz. Why do we burn the chametz on the morning before Pesach? So the Torah requires, aside from not owning any chametz, aside from not eating any chametz, the Torah has a special mitzvah, positive commandment, to actually rid our homes of chametz. So it's not just enough that I don't have it, I have to actively destroy and get rid of the chametz that's in my home. There's a dispute in the Talmud, how does one rid the home of the chametz? Does one need to just get rid of it, throw it in the ocean, flush it down the toilet, throw it away, whatever? Or is there a specific mitzvah that you need to burn it? How do you have to get rid of it? So we generally hold that all you need to do is get rid of it. So long as you've gotten rid of your home, your chametz, in your home, that's one way to get rid of your chametz. But if you don't want to take that route, the simpler thing is just to get rid of your chametz. So if at any time that a person within 30 days of Pesach is getting rid of their chametz, actively throwing things away, eating it, whatever they're doing to get rid of it, is fulfilling that mitzvah of getting rid of the chametz in my home. Because there is an opinion in the Talmud that says you need to specifically burn it, so the Jewish people have taken it upon themselves to save a little bit of chametz and to then burn it on the last day before Pesach to fulfill that opinion that the way that we're going to get rid of our chametz is simply in that way of burning it. I stress that point because in every year, wherever I've been, there are always people who show up to the burning of the chametz with garbage bags of stuff. It's not just chametz, just garbage. They just take the garbage bag from their home and they bring it to burn it. There's no need for it. It causes a mess. The issue is taking a little bit of chametz. Most people simply take the 10 pieces of bread that they put out the night before And you burn something so that, according to the opinion that says, chametz needs to be burned, I'm fulfilling that by actively burning this chametz. But the rest of my chametz you can throw away, that's totally fine. Please don't bring garbage and all other sorts of stuff. No need to burn that. Yeah?
You can designate a person to burn
it. Sure, sure.
Just give it to them?
100%, yeah. Many people, by the way, often, when you bake challah, so people separate challah. So the question always becomes, what do you do with the challah once it's been separated? You don't give it to anybody, you don't really necessarily want to throw it out. So many people put it in the freezer, and they'll burn it, Erev Pesach, they'll take it together with all of their chametz, and they'll put it in the bonfire. So if you have any challah saved up in your freezer, if you want to start doing that for next year, it's a wonderful way to get rid of it. You just keep it in a little Ziploc bag, you have foil, tinfoil little balls of separated challah, and you come to your beer chametz, and you could just burn it there.
Okay, so I'm a little confused, just technicality. On Thursday night, okay, we've secluded all our chametz,
right,
and we've nullified everything, but so where do we get this chametz that we're going to burn on Friday morning? What do we...
Good. Fair question. So before you do the bedikah, there's a custom to put out 10 pieces of challah throughout the house, so that as you search, you find chametz,
okay,
and gather that. So that should be gathered in a second, separate place, and you'll take that and burn Friday morning. Now, when do we burn the chametz? So the Torah, because of the prohibition of owning chametz, once the Torah basically on Erev Pesach at a certain hour of the day removes the chametz from our possession. One is not allowed to own chametz. You cannot have it, and it's basically not yours. So what we do is we always burn the chametz a little bit before that time happens. You'll always notice, always every year Pesach says chametz must be burned before this and this time. That's because after that time, the chametz is already not yours. Because it's become forbidden on such a significant and severe level, you can't fulfill the mitzvah anymore. Because I can't fulfill the mitzvah of burning my chametz if I don't own my chametz. It's not mine anymore. So in order to fulfill the mitzvah of burning the chametz, now we've really already fulfilled the mitzvah, because every time you throw it out in the garbage, we hold that that's sufficient. But because we want to fulfill the mitzvah according to everybody, and we want to burn a little bit, so you have to burn it while it's still yours. And therefore, every year before Pesach, the sheets will say, make sure you burn your chametz by whatever time it is, because after that time, it's not yours. Now, that time, when is chametz not going to become ours this year?
On Shabbos.
On Shabbos, at about, we'll lean on 12, 24, we'll see whatever time, sometime in the middle of the day on Shabbos. Well, we're clearly not burning our chametz on Shabbos. You have to burn it on Friday. So the whole institution of burning it before a specific time only really is in order to burn it before it doesn't become, it's not yours anymore because it's too close to Pesach. That doesn't apply on Friday. So technically speaking, when can you burn your chametz on Friday? Anytime you want. The whole day on Friday you could burn it because it's not really yours. Nonetheless, the custom is to burn it by that time, which is, what did I put here, around 12:28, for the reason that no one should get confused. If one year you're running around and 10 minutes before Shabbos you stop off at shul and you burn your chametz, so next year the person's going to think, I didn't remember the last year was Shabbos or Yom Tov. I remember, I take my chametz with me right before I go to shul, and I brought it to the shul and I burnt it somewhere where the shul fire is. So we don't want anybody ever thinking that on their way to shul, before Yom Tov, that's when they should take their chametz. So even on a Friday, the custom is all chametz should be burned at the exact same time that we would normally burn it, which is going to be about 12:28. Yeah. So I would guess, without knowing for sure, sometime between 11 and 12:30, I would guess. I don't know. Whatever. You'll be notified. Check your email for local listing. But because of the fact that it is Friday, if a person didn't burn their chametz by 12:30 on Friday afternoon, you should burn it until Shabbos. Because the halacha is, it's still mine. The only reason why on normal years I have that limitation of burning it by around 12:30 on Erev Pesach afternoon is because after that time I don't own it anymore. It's become so forbidden to me that it's not mine, so you have to burn it early. But on a Friday, it doesn't really apply. Even though the custom is widespread, and I would strongly recommend everyone to do that, that's when we'll be burning our chametz between the hours of something like 11 and 12:30. All chametz should be brought then. If you don't get it done, so then you still should burn it all the way up to Shabbos, because that is certainly the halacha. Okay, we're up to D there in section number 2. Now, regularly, right after the burning of the chametz is when we nullify the chametz for the second time. And the reason for that, of course, is because we're burning the chametz right before the period of time where it's not owned by me anymore. And in order to nullify chametz, I have to own it to say that I don't want it. If it already would become forbidden to me, so then I've already violated the prohibition. I went past the time. I own the chametz beyond the point that I'm allowed to. I violated the prohibition. The result of that is that the Torah takes it away from me. It's forbidden, but I've already violated that prohibition. So I need to nullify it before that time. So part of the process, generally, of burning chametz is you burn chametz, and then someone will hand you a little card, and you read the nullification that says, all chametz, whether I know about it, whether I don't know about it, I don't want it, it's not mine, I'm finished with it. This year, since we're burning the chametz early, that's not done. We're going to nullify the chametz the second time on Shabbos afternoon by 12:30, which will be in the middle of your meal, as we'll get to in a few minutes. In the middle of your Shabbos meal, someone's going to give a little clap on the table. It's almost 12:30. Everybody needs to nullify your chametz. Now, we're not going to be eating chametz at that point already. We'll have finished with that about an hour before. But that's the last time that you have to nullify it. So we're not going to do it as we burn the chametz, because we still want our chametz. We're still going to be eating it. It will be done a little bit later, as we will get to. Okay, last thing on Bir Chametz, letter F. Now, so let's say you did everything correctly. You had a chance to burn your chametz. You did the Bdika Thursday night. You burnt your chametz on Friday morning. You're still permitted to go to the Kroger and buy yourself rolls, buy yourself an ice cream at Brewster's, take your kids wherever you want. You're still allowed to do that. It's a bizarre year, because I've done a Bdika. I did it Thursday night, took care of everything. I nullified the chametz that's in my possession that I don't want anymore. I went to the shul Friday morning and I burnt my chametz. And then I go to Brewster's to celebrate with an ice cream cone. But you're allowed, that's what happens in this year. You're allowed to do it. Don't bring the ice cream cone home. But you're allowed to go there and eat. Let me just finish this thought. I'll get your question in a second. You are permitted to do that. And just make sure that you don't mess up the status of your home as being a home that is checked. But it is not yet Pesach. It's Friday afternoon. The last time to eat chametz is still going to be tomorrow morning, Shabbos morning. So even though it's a weird feeling of going to Brewster's after having burnt your chametz, usually, normally in the year, we're like in Pesach mode. We're done. Chametz is totally gone, and we're in that mode. You're allowed to eat chametz, buy chametz, that's still totally fine, as long as you make sure you dispose of whatever you don't want. You don't want to bring it home, you don't want to leave it in your car. Be careful, but it is permitted. There's nothing wrong with sending the kids off wherever. I'm not sure if Broadway's still going to be open or not, but sending the kids off for lunch, you know, let them enjoy. That's not a problem at all. Good. Yeah, question.
I think I have a rhetorical question.
The time that you have to burn, yes. Friday, correct.
Let's say you go buy a sandwich or whatever. Do you have something left in the garbage?
Yeah, don't throw it in your home garbage, because you don't, but yes, 100%. Yeah.
Look at your car, cleaning your car after.
Cleaning your car is technically like your house. Cleaning your car, when you do a Bedika Thursday nights, your car should be included in your Bedika Thursday nights. Because you don't, just like your house needs to be done, that's the time to do a Bedika in your car as well. Your car should be chametz free by the Thursday night Bedika. Generally, the halacha is when you do a Bedika, you should do a Bedika in your cars at that time as well. And therefore, by Thursday night, your car should be chametz free. Yeah.
Let's say we've done everything right. We've gone to donuts or something on Friday afternoon. We go home, we brush our teeth, and that toothbrush we do what with?
Clean it. Well, you want to throw it out, you can throw it out. You know, if you wanted to save your toothbrush from your Bedika, this is going to be my last, you know, brushing of the teeth on Friday afternoon before Shabbos, then you want to dispose of it. That kind of chametz you could throw in your garbage. That's not real. There's no real chametz in your toothbrush, I would hope. Okay. Couple of comments on some Seder preparations. Now, as I'm sure you know, you're not allowed to prepare for Yontif on Shabbos. So once Shabbos starts, you can't do anything on Shabbos to get ready for Yontif. Now, we happen to live in Atlanta, Georgia, which is very west in the Eastern time zone, which means everything is going to be very, very late. Your Seder will not get started on Saturday night earliest. I'm not sure exactly what the time is, but it's going to be after 9 o'clock. You cannot set your table for the Seder on Shabbos. You're not allowed to do that. So it is highly recommended, set your table Friday and don't eat there on Shabbos. Either come to the shul, eat in your kitchen, eat on the floor in your playroom, wherever. Set your table before Shabbos. If you don't do it before Shabbos, you cannot start even setting your table until Shabbos ends, and it's going to be late enough as it is, so highly recommend having your table set as much as you can on Friday already. Add that to your list of things to do. The other basic preparations, your egg, your shank bone, all of those things should be also roasted, prepared, cooked, whatever you're going to do with them before Shabbos, because again, if you want to, you don't want to start doing that on a regular year, so you do it 2 hours before Shabbos, before Yom Tov on Friday afternoon, after that, you take care of it. It's got to be done before Shabbos because you can't do that on Shabbos actually. And then once Shabbos starts, you're stuck until after Shabbos ends. Same with checking of the leaves, chopping up of the nuts and the horseradish, all those things. Anything you can do before, put that on your list of things that you want to take care of before Shabbos. Yeah.
What if you're going to be a guest the first day of the night? You yourself will be a guest, so you're going to be a guest and not a guest.
I'm not sure you're allowed. Yeah, that's.
Do you have to wait like till 9:30 to first walk?
No, no.
What about
the next night, the
second Seder?
Look at that. Correct. That's why the second Seder always is later than the first Seder, because everyone's first Seder is usually set. The food's ready, everything's ready to go right before Yom Tov. On a normal year, you're really ready to get started as soon as everyone comes home from shul. But this, on the second Seder, nothing, all the women always, everyone always complains that someone, some rabbi is going to give some long drasha in between mincha before the daven ma'ariv, and everyone's all antsy to get home. And the response is simply, your wives are going to kill you. Stay in shul. They're not ready. They haven't even begun getting everything ready. So you keep them in shul as long as they can. And then eventually you send them home. But none of the second Seder is never ready. All the stuff that needs to get setting the table and getting all things in order, it takes time. So we try to keep them as long as we can. Eventually we have to let them home, and then you have to deal with them. But it can help. That's a possibility. That is a possibility. Usually what we speak about in shul is going home and helping your wife to get ready for. Yeah?
I did learn something from you. You can't start cooking either. But it doesn't always take. You have to cook your turkey or your meat. If you put it in the oven, When
the holidays
begin, it will be ready by the time
everybody. Right, that's 3:00 in the morning. That's correct. Okay, let's move on. Shabbos meals. This is the real tricky part. The part that everybody's. If you're coming here, what's that? No, I have. Am I out? Wow. I'll make more. Have it. Sorry. I'll wait. Okay, Shabbos meals. Alright, Shabbos meals is a little bit tricky, but again, you'll see it's really not all that bad. All Shabbos meals should be kosher for Pesach. And it's all food that is served, whether or not you cooked it beforehand. Obviously, your kitchens on Friday afternoon will all be kosher for Pesach already. This is not the time to take out that kugel that you had in the fridge. All food that's served is a kosher for Pesach meal throughout Shabbos. It should be cooked in your regular Pesach dishes and ready to be eaten, even though it's going to be Shabbos, and you'll be eating bread at the meal. The food that you're going to be served will be Pesach food, and that's obviously going to cause the problem. How can I have my Pesach food? We'll get there. But the food, at least, should be cooked in Pesach pots, and kosher for Passover, as far as that goes. Now, depending on how you'll eat them, whether on disposable or Pesach dishes, you know, when the halacha books were written, they didn't have disposable plates, so this was another added issue. For the whatever money it costs for your two Shabbos meals, the disposable is just the way to go. It just solves all of these problems. You put a couple of paper or plastic plates down, and you're good to go. Now, here's the problem with the Shabbos meals. A Shabbos meal requires hamotzi. You have to have a bread product, be it bread, matzah, something to wash on and bench on for your Shabbos meals. That's a requirement. Now, aside from the fact that your houses are all Pesachtik already, which is one problem, we have a larger problem that starting already in the fourth hour of the day on Shabbos morning, which is going to come out to be around 11:25 in the morning, 11:24, these times I put all approximations because these are what's listed in a lot of the websites, but Dr. Joe Tate has the exact latitude and longitude for Lent. There's always a minute or two difference for this exact location we were saying. So it's around there, around 11:24, and we'll have the exact times for you shortly. Once that time comes, you're not allowed to eat. You can't have any chametz anymore. So Shabbos morning, by 11:24 in the morning, you can't have any chametz. Not only can you not have any chametz, But on all day Erev Pesach, you're not allowed to eat matzah either. Because on Erev Pesach, in order to distinguish and be ready for the time, the flavor, the taste, the excitement of matzah, which everybody naturally has, so we don't eat matzah so that we shouldn't lose that wonderful flavor and taste that everybody loves for matzah. So I can't eat bread after 11:30, can't eat matzah all day, and I have to have Shabbos meals. So that always creates the difficulty of what do I do for my meals both Friday night, which is a little bit easier, and what do I do Shabbos morning for my meals. Good question? Okay. So there are two basic solutions to this problem. The first solution is using bread. That's what you do. You get bread, fresh rolls, if you could find fresh rolls on Friday, or pita bread are recommended because they make the least amount of crumbs than other types of bread. So then what you do is as follows. Now, as I was writing this, it sounded sort of silly. I'm like expressing where you should sit and where you should eat, but we'll go through it. This is what you do at your table. If you're coming here again to the shul, we've taken care of the problem for you. If you're eating at home, this is the way that it works. So before you would set your table for your meal, for your Friday night meal, for your Shabbos day meal, you put out your plastic or disposable plate. You put your rolls on the plate, your pizza on the plate. You make kiddush. You wash at the table. You have your bread, and then you clear the table after the bread is consumed. So that the plastic tablecloth, whatever, it's all, you eat it over a napkin, and then everything is, once the bread part is done, it's like the first course. And then you bring out everything else. You can bring out set the table, bring out all your food. You're now going to have a Pesach meal, even though it was preceded by bread. But you just don't want to mix the two, because when you bring out your food, it's probably in your Pesach servingware, in your dishes. So you don't want to bring that to the table when you have your chametz on the table. So you leave all the food in the oven, all the food in the kitchen, wherever you leave your food. Remember, your kitchen is entirely Pesach-thick at this point. All that you have is this little Ziploc bag with a couple of rolls in it. So before you set the table, or if you want, you set the table and eat somewhere else, eat in another room, in the basement, in the kitchen, on your patio, wherever you want to eat, you wash, you have all your bread, and you want to eat all of it, because what are you going to do with the leftovers? You're stuck with it. So you want to, before Shabbos, really cheshbon it out, really figure out how much you need, how many people are eating your Shabbos meals with you, how much is everybody going to want to eat, and that's what you set aside on Friday. So before you burn your chametz or you throw out your last remaining chametz, you figure if it's three people, four people, five people, everybody gets a roll, and that's all that they're going to get. And everybody sits down, you go through the regular Shabbos, Shalom Aleichem, and the Kiddush, and then clear you're allowed to use your regular chametz, the Kiddush cup. You don't have to, that's fine because it's a regular Shabbos. No, then you take that away, put that away with your other stuff, eat your bread, clear the table, wrap up the plastic, clear away, make sure there are no crumbs, and then you bring out your Pesach-tika things. That is the basic method. It's not so crazy. If you have kids in the house, it becomes a lot more difficult. You're probably going to want to go with option B, which I'll speak about in a minute. If there are not little kids in the house, and that kids are going to be wanting to eat bread, and they can't really do that in a way where they could keep it neat and manageable, a roll or a pizza over a plate. And you know, as an adult, this is really not hard. It's really not difficult to eat. You wrap up the tablecloth, you wrap up the plate, throw it away, flush it down the toilet. You don't want to throw away actual crumbs. You'd rather just wrap it up in a paper towel, dump it down in the toilet, and flush away. It's out of your possession, out of your house. Give it to a non-Jew to take away. So you don't want to have big chunks of leftover bread. That's the hard part if you go with this method, is making sure that you could eat it or dispose of it in an appropriate manner.
Okay, you put it in half that fresh food.
Technically can. It's not highly recommended to do it that way. But you, because it's the trash can belongs to you and it's in your possession. It really rather. Right. What's that? You can't feed the birds. You can't feed the birds on Shabbos.
We always went outside and we had an enclosed patio and ate the bread.
Oh, but you can't feed the birds on Shabbos.
Right.
Remember, it's Shabbos. That's the other problem. But the job is one of them. You can't leave it there. You can't leave it there for the birds. The best thing to do is to flush it down the toilet. To gather it up in a napkin, shake the napkin out over the toilet, flush it down, and finish with that. If you have a non-Jew, you can give it to the non-Jew, and the non-Jew can take it somewhere else and dispose of it in some public garbage can. That's also fine. But just to leave it in yours and put it on your front yard where they're not picking up the garbage until Tuesday is really not a recommended way of disposing of chametz. No. You're only allowed to feed animals that belong to you and you're responsible for. Because if you have a cat, you have a dog, cow, you can feed all those animals. But you can't feed random animals. So that's a Shabbos discussion. We can have that another time if you'd like. Yeah. Yeah, eat it over a napkin and then just throw the whole napkin away, whatever. When there are kids in the house, it becomes a mess because kids make a mess with their challah. They don't really do that very well. But for the adult, that is the ideal way to do it is with the challah and to be able to then wrap it up and dispose of any crumbs. There shouldn't be all that many crumbs if you eat a challah roll. Piece of pizza. How many crumbs does an adult? How much crumbs are you left with on your plate or in your napkin when you're finished eating? So with adults, it's not hard. That would be the recommended method of doing that. Kids will get to in a second. Now again, you don't have to eat in that. If you want to eat in a different room and you want to eat in the kitchen and then eat in the dining, you don't have to eat your bread on your chametz on your Pesach Tikkun table. The best thing to do is get a plastic one of those covers. You know, just throw away the napkin. And you want to totally change everything, then you could throw. But if you put out one of those plastic tablecloths, the disposal ones, and you eat over a napkin, so you take the napkin and you throw that away, so you want to wrap up your tablecloth and throw it down the garbage. That can go in the garbage. There's no real chametz on that. So you throw it down the garbage, and then you set your table with your Pesach dishes and bring out your Pesach things, and you don't have to worry that you're putting your Pesach things on a tablecloth that has chametz on it, even one. That's the best way to do it. Get yourself a plastic tablecloth, dispose of everything, and then set it again for Shabbos meal.
You have to clarify, don't we, that we have to take whatever chametz is left, that has to be flushed down the toilet.
Yes.
Because whatever remains in the trash can is considered yours until the trash man takes it away, which is usually not Monday or Tuesday.
Technically, you nullified it. So in terms of violating the law, no. Because the halacha, it's not yours. You said, I don't want it. You're going to declare it ownerless. But we don't like having the chametz.
Correct.
So it's technically a method that would work. But the whole reason why we do the bedikah
correct.
Is because even though I am going to nullify it, Chazal basically said, I don't want you to have chametz in your possession.
Correct.
Lest you come and find it, maybe you decide you want to feed it to a bird. We don't want you to have chametz in your possession. So putting it in your trash can, it's still in your possession.
Correct.
And the whole point of the double-edged sword, the nullification and the bedikah, is to say, we don't want you to have it. So it's not recommended to do it that way.
Okay, so then... Flush it down. You're better off.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool. Do you obligate to take a drink or with your mouth out before you start the Pesach food?
No. If you're eating with Pesach silverware, then maybe you want to do that. But if you're going to eat on plasticware, then it doesn't matter because you're allowed to eat chametz still, and your food is Pesach thick, so. Yeah. Because it's still not. There's no problem with eating chametz. It's still either Friday night or Shabbos morning, as long as it's still early enough, which we'll get to now in a minute. Let me just discuss the other second solution. On the top of page 2, the second solution is egg matzah. Egg matzah is the subject of a massive rabbinic debate for the following reason. There's a discussion in the halacha whether or not a person is allowed to use what's known as matzah ashira, literally rich, prosperous matzah. And a rich matzah means matzah that was made with something other than water, with a juice, eggs, something more substantial than water, and there's considerable debate whether or not we can fulfill the obligation of matzah to Seder with such matzah, which egg matzah is considered in that category. Ashkenazic tradition is across the board that we hold you cannot fulfill your obligation at the Seder with egg matzah. Cannot use egg matzah at the Seder. We do not hold it to be a viable method of fulfilling the mitzvah of matzah. The exception for that would be someone either very elderly, sick, or a very young child who can't handle the regular matzah. Since it's a stringency that the Ashkenazi communities have accepted upon themselves not to use that for the Seder, it's not really chametz, it's matzah. If you go to the store and you look at the egg matzah boxes, it'll say kosher for Passover. It's not chametz, it's kosher for Passover. You cannot use it to fulfill your obligation. And generally we don't use it at all on Pesach, unless you need it because you can't digest regular matzah. So we generally do not eat egg matzah at all over Pesach, but it's not chametz. It is not chametz. We just don't use it. That being the case, that you can't use it to fulfill your obligation at the Seder with egg matzah, it also then doesn't fit into the prohibition of eating matzah on Erev Yontif. The only matzah that we don't allow you to eat on Erev Yontif is the type of matzah that you otherwise could have fulfilled your obligation with later that night. Since you can't eat egg matzah at night at the Seder, you can't fulfill your obligation with it, so then it falls through the cracks and is not prohibited to be eaten on Erev Yontif. So therefore, egg matzah would therefore fit into the category where you can wash and bench on egg matzah. You don't have to worry about the chametz problem because it's kosher for Passover. And you don't have to ruin all of your Pesachtik dishes and tablecloths. But and you could still eat it because you can't fulfill the obligation later that night. The reason why it's not so simple is because there's considerable debate how much egg matzah would you have to eat in order to be considered having eaten enough because of its funny status of not really bread, it's a quasi-bread, it's bread with eggs instead of with water. So there's a lot of talk about is it appropriate bracha mizonos or hamot, is it cake or is it bread? What's the difference between egg matzah and the cake that you make regularly for dessert? So in order to make a hamot, you have to eat a lot. There's talk. Generally, we would hold if you're going to eat egg matzah, you should wash and you should bench, but you would need to eat more. So because there's a lot of talk about it, the preferred method for handling your meals on Shabbos is with the rolls. For your kids, I would certainly recommend the egg matzah, because they could eat it anyway and they don't have any of those issues. But if you can't deal with the rolls for any various reason, it's too crazy, you can use the egg matzah, it will work. You should wash, you should eat a significant amount of it, you should bench, and you can do that to fulfill your meals both Friday night and Shabbos morning. Rabbi Daniel Freitag and the scholars called Luz and Dunwoody, so I was talking about this was the big talk in the Beis Medrash this morning. So he told me that he heard a shiur from Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky's etzal discussing this issue of Shabbos when it falls out right before Pesach, and he concluded clearly that you should have the rolls. That's the ideal method for handling the situation. So someone says, Rebbe, you have rolls in your house Shabbos morning. He said, are you kidding me? My Rebbetzin would never let me get away with that. So there's a practical reality of my house is Pesach Dick, and you're not bringing rolls. So if you don't have children in the house, again, I don't think it's a big deal to put a couple of rolls in a Ziploc bag and you can manage it. If there are children in the house, egg matzahs is a fine way to go. And the preferred method is with the rolls. If it's going to be unwieldy, it's impossible to control, and it's going to make a mess in the whole house, egg matzah would be the other way to handle it, or you can come to the shul and you don't have to worry about the mess. We'll take care of that for you. I think they're still accepting reservations if I haven't scared you away from making your own meals in your house yet. More than, to fulfill your mitzvah on Pesach, you need, what do they say, like two-thirds of a machine matzah? So it would be less than that. Yeah, so I'm saying it would be less than that. Less than that. Less than what you would need on Pesach. I would guess around a half. Yeah, I would think so. Because you could take the lenient amounts of when we say Pesach, which we're really into it. Yeah. Now there is the following stipulation with egg matzah, which let me introduce one more thing before we get back to the egg matzah. Now there are two meals that you have to have on Shabbos. You have the Friday night meal and you have your Shabbos morning meal. The Friday night meal is easy because there are no time limitations. The chametz is totally, there's no issue that you have to worry about. Shabbos morning, the other variable that comes in, aside for dealing with the fact that I'm eating bread, and then I'm going to have a Pesach meal, and my kitchen is already Pesach thick, and I need to make sure that I throw everything out appropriately, I also have a time issue on Shabbos morning. I'm not allowed to eat the bread after the fourth hour of the day, which comes out to be around 11:20, let's call it to be safe, 11:20 in the morning. Once 11:20 in the morning comes, I can't eat the bread anyway because it's Erev Pesach. This is the day before Pesach starts. We don't eat chametz after the fourth hour into the day, which is 11:20 this year. So I'm limited in time, even if I'm going to go through this process of washing, eating my rolls, and then having my meal. That part of the meal, the washing and the rolls, must be completed before 11:20 in the morning. Now, regular Shabbos morning here, we haven't even gotten to Kiddush yet at 11:20. That's why we will be davening early Shabbos morning on Shabbos HaGadol, the Shabbos right before Pesach. I don't know if it's 7:30 or 7:15, I don't remember the exact time we're going to start. In order to finish the davening and let people get home, wash, and finish their bread, and dispose of it appropriately, take care of everything that they need before 11:20 in the morning. Egg matzah, let me just finish one more thought. Egg matzah, even though we hold that it's kosher for Passover, and even though the elderly and the sick and the children can use it to fulfill their obligation at the Seder, since the Ashkenazic tradition is not to fulfill our obligation with it at the Seder, Rav Moshe Feinstein held, and this is the general tradition that we follow, is to treat it like chametz, that we don't eat it already starting at the fourth hour. So that even though you're allowed to keep a box of egg matzah in your cabinet because maybe someone will get sick and will need to eat it, the way that we deal with it as far as eating it, we do not eat egg matzah just like bread starting after the fourth hour. So whether or not you're going to go with the option of eating bread over a napkin and disposing of the crumbs appropriately, or you're going to go with the egg matzah, either way, your meal, as far as the bread part of the meal, must be completed by around 11:20, 11:24 in the morning on Shabbos. That's why, again, we start davening early. Yes?
And what time would you guess davening would be over for those of us who are a long walk from the shul?
I'm guessing, when are we starting the meal?
Well, you didn't address how it should have.
No, I haven't even addressed it. Getting there.
It.
We're getting there. I would guess 10:30. Is that when the meal schedule to start at that?
I think so. That's following service.
I'm guessing around 10:30.
I don't know where she got the information, but when I called the show, it was always said like 9:15 or something. She said about 9:15.
If you start at 7, I guess it'll be... Whenever we start, whenever, I don't know what the final time, the decision was when we're going to start. Whenever we're going to start, it'll be 2 1/4 to 2.5 hours after that. So if we start at 7:15, I guess around 9:30, I guess we would start the first meal, which would give us plenty of time to be done by 11:30. 9:30, 10, somewhere around there.
Mine's related about eating chametz before 11:20. So if you're going to eat it at home,
mm-hmm.
then can you eat up if you're, and you can eat on your patio?
Yeah.
Right? That would be ideal.
Yeah.
Generally speaking.
Also fine.
The crumbs that fall to the ground.
Just sweep them off your patio.
No problem.
Yeah. If it's not a real significant piece, that's fine. I would do the same thing. I would put a napkin underneath and try to catch it all and flush it down the toilet.
Yeah.
If there's stuff on the floor, you don't have to, you know, figure out. If it's
a chunk, pick
up a chunk and flush it down the toilet. If it's nothing, you could just...
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, now, getting back to something that I mentioned a little bit earlier, there's a second nullification of chametz, which always takes place on Erev Pesach. This year, the last time to burn chametz would have been around 12:30, 12:28, 12:30 in that area. And that's the last time that you need to nullify your chametz. Even though we've finished eating the meal, the bread part of our meal, whether or not it's egg matzah or whether or not it's actual bread, that part of the meal is done by 11:20. You then have until about 12:20, 12:30 to go through the second nullification process, which you should do. And that should be done. You just take out that little card, it'll be on your standard Haggadah or in your sitter, and you nullify your chametz after you've disposed of everything from your possession, the remaining crumbs, take care of that. You're allowed to continue eating your meal after you've done that. Because remember, after you've taken care of your bread part of your meal, be it egg matzah, be it your rolls, you're still allowed to sit down and have a Shabbos meal. It's now, you know, 10 o'clock in the morning, 10:30, 11 o'clock in the morning. You've washed, you're in the middle of a meal, you just had your bread, you disposed of the crumbs, and now you can sit down and have a Shabbos meal. That meal can be as long, as large as you'd like. It's Shabbos. Enjoy your meal. By 12:30, you make sure you've nullified your chametz. So that has nothing to do with the meal you're eating, which is an entirely Pesach-tik meal. So take out 3 minutes, nullify your chametz. I would recommend doing it right after you finish the bread, throw it away, do it right away. Don't wait. There's no reason, generally on Erev Pesach, that extra hour, because you're still eating breakfast at home until 11:30, then you got to pick up your stuff, you go to shul, you have an extra hour. But there's nothing to do here. You finish your bread, wrap it up, dispose of it, flush it down the toilet, nullify it right then and there, even though you still have an extra hour. Nothing is lost by doing it right then and there. It's all nullified, none of it is mine. And sit down and enjoy the rest of your kosher for Passover meal. Now, there's a third problem which we have to address, and that's the problem of shalashudas. Okay, the problem is as follows. There are two... I'm going to run through this quickly because I want to get to the Seder night more than I want to run through this, which is... The problem is as follows. A person needs to eat 3 meals. Both our men and women need to have 3 meals a day on Shabbos. There are two ideals that we'd like to fulfill with Shalosh Shuddos, which are impossible to be fulfilled on this coming Shabbos when Erev Pesach falls on Shabbos. The first ideal is that that third meal should be a bread meal, not just a fish, meat, fruit kind of meal. It should be an actual regular meal. That's the first ideal as far as the third meal goes. The second ideal is that the third meal should be in the afternoon on Shabbos, after 6.5 hours into the day, which is the time that you could earliest daven mincha. That's when the third meal should be. So a person on a regular Shabbos wants to eat Shalosh Shuddos in the ideal method, would do so by A, eating after 6.5 hours into the day, which is around 2 o'clock around this time of year, and he or she would do so by washing and having bread. This year on Shabbos of Erev Pesach, you obviously cannot fulfill those two ideals, because after 2 o'clock, chametz has long been forbidden. You can't eat rolls anymore. That's over already at 11:30 in the morning. You can't even eat egg matzah. That's also finished by 11:30, and you certainly can't have regular matzah. So there's no way to wash on anything at 6.5 hours into the day. By 2 o'clock, there's nothing to eat that you could do that with. So one of the two ideals is going to go, and that's the way that we fulfill Shalosh Shuddos, by giving up on one of those two ideals. Either we have Shalosh Shuddos later in the afternoon, and we fulfill it with the opinions who hold you don't have to wash. You sit down for a third meal, which is consistent only of fish, meat, fruit, and you make a Shalosh Shuddos. So Shalosh Shuddos, okay, so there's no bread. But there are opinions who hold you regularly don't have to have bread on a regular Shabbos. So certainly on a Shabbos where I can't have bread, you can fulfill Shalosh Shuddos later in the afternoon just without washing and having any type of bread products. The other method to fulfill Shalosh Shuddos on this coming Shabbos is to give up on the other ideal of doing it later in the afternoon and doing it earlier in the morning, making two meals by 11:30. Because by 11:30 I can't eat bread anymore. So I can have two meals by 11:30. That's why we start davening really early on Shabbos, so that we can fulfill, we can wash, bench. You have to take a break because you can't just wash again. That's what's known as a bracha. That's not necessary. So you'd wash and bench. That's one meal. Listen to a shir. Take a walk around the block. Come back again. Wash. Finish your bread by 11:30 with your second meal. And then you can continue having the rest of your meal. That's the Pesach tikkun meal. Those are the two options for getting Shalosh Shuddos in on such a day. Yeah.
Let's say you did the blessing.
Yeah.
You're totally done eating blessing. Yeah. You bench after Shalosh Shuddos. Normally, you're not allowed to eat anything from after Shalosh Shuddos.
That's correct. That's only, it's not because of Shalosh Shuddos. You're not allowed to eat anything after Shkia, after sunset, until you made Havdalah. That would not apply at all. Yeah, not only that, I would even say it's ideal if you are going to do the method of having two meals early in the morning, which is what the shul is going to do here that Shabbos morning. It's recommended to sit down and have a meal after 2 o'clock of fruits or fish or meat to fulfill the other opinion that says it's better to do it later in the day. And you're going to eat anyway. I mean, your meal's going to be over at 12 noon. Mincha is not going to be until 8 o'clock. Your Seder is not going to be until 10. You're going to want to eat at some point anyway. So when you sit down and eat, say to yourself, this meal that I'm sitting down to nash on some fruit or some fish or some meat, this is going to be my Shalosh Shuddos, according to the opinions that really it should have been done anyway in the afternoon. And that way you've covered all of your bases and done it in the, and according to anybody, you've done the most, because you can't have bread that way in the day. That way you've covered all your bases. But if you can't fit in two meals, if you planned on doing it, and the kids, and this, you got home from late from shul, just make sure you get one meal in by 11:30 if it's already too late. If it's 11 o'clock, it's 11:15 and you realize you only had one meal, don't quickly wash and bench. It's worse to do that, to bench and make a multi again, because there's no need for that. You don't have enough time to build in an appropriate break in between the two meals, and there's no need for it. So, alright, you didn't get it in, that's fine. Later in the day, after 2 o'clock, you'll sit down and have a Shalosh Shuddos that just doesn't have any bread, and that's totally fine. Many people do that anyway during the year where they don't have bread for Shalosh Shuddos, they just rely on those opinions. So, don't make yourself crazy to get two meals in by 11:30. If it doesn't work out, it's fine. Make sure you do get one meal in, because only the third meal has the leniency of the fish, or the meat, or the fruit. So the first meal, make sure you get in by 11:30 with the bread. And then the second, if you can, great. If you can't, so you'll go with the other method later. Yeah?
Is it the case that we're not supposed to have any of the foods that we're eating in the Seder during the meal of that day?
I've never heard. Are you coming that someone told you that?
I thought that, you know, like I wasn't supposed to give my kids apples because it's in the chorus and eggs.
I never heard. Has anyone else ever? I haven't heard anything like that. Just matzah, by matzah. Yeah, I think it's probably a mitzvah for a wife to feed her kids the food that's already prepared for the Seder, not to make herself crazy. Just Yeah. No, totally. I've never heard of that before, so I don't think it's around.
In that kind of vein, could you make charoset on Shabbos after and give some to your kids and then
yes. Excellent point. In other words, if you're making the charoset to give it to your kids, you can, as long as you're making the process in a halakhically acceptable, which probably you can. Yeah.
Okay, but given that, like, can you make, like, a lot of frozen if it's just a little too good, or you really can't do that?
Yeah, I wouldn't try. Make it on Friday.
Taste
I just read the, Shabbos, because you might come to mind.
Okay, that could be. So that would be my only concern, that you might not be able to make it. Yeah. Too thin. Depending on how you mix it. I could hear why it would be a problem. Yeah. And let me finish one more minute before Rabbi Stein comes in. Let me, I can hear why it would be a problem. I'm not totally sure that it's okay, so let me get to where I want to get to. Oh, yes.
You
cooked matzah, knedelach, you can eat. Cooked matzah doesn't have the status, just like there's a prohibition of eating matzah on Erev Pesach, because it's going to take away from the tam, the flavor of the matzah, that only applies to baked matzah products. You couldn't eat matzah meal cookies or things like that. Cooked matzah doesn't have that status. So you can eat knedelach all the way up until the 10th hour,
you're not supposed to eat
which is coming to 5. No,
yeah.
Correct. No, not an Erev Pesach.
So no cake.
No, all of those kosher or Passover cakes that's baked are all within the prohibition of eating matzah on Erev Pesach. Only cooked matzah meal products can be eaten on Erev Pesach.
So not the drunk cakes, don't have matzah.
Right, so those would be fine.
I understand. You said you can eat cooked matzah meal, right?
Yeah, the cakes are baked, they're not cooked. I mean, cooked in water, like knedelach.
Oh, okay.
On Shabbos, which is Erev Pesach, there's a prohibition of eating matzah on the day before Pesach that only applies to matzah or any baked matzah products. So a matzah meal that's baked into a cake also would be included, and you shouldn't eat that or cookies on Erev Pesach, which would be Shabbos. Cooked matzah in water, like knedelach or things like that, is not included in that prohibition. So you could eat cooked matzah products on Shabbos all the way up to the 10th hour of the day, which is around in the 5 somewhere, 5 o'clock. All right, very quickly, I just want to finish this up. Seder night. Again, all preparations must be made either before Shabbos or after Shabbos ends. The one exception to the preparation that you're allowed to make is sleeping. Very important exception. It's a gift for all Jewish women that this year comes around every once in a while, because women have the one chance to go into their Seder a little bit rested. You could work it out. You are not allowed to say, I am sleeping in order to be rested for the Seder. You can't explicitly state that and say that. But you're allowed to take a Shabbos nap. Everyone's allowed to take a Shabbos nap.
Can you say that to kids?
That they should take a nap? No, you shouldn't tell kids to take a nap, because you shouldn't say it yourself. You shouldn't tell that to your kids. They're allowed to take a nap. You can encourage them to take a nap. But you can't say, on Shabbos, you're doing this to prepare for something outside of Shabbos. But you are allowed to nap, and you should nap as long as you can, and you will rest it for a very late night.
If you happen to nap on Friday, can you say tomorrow you are going to be napping? If you can't say even in
Okay, last 2 points very quickly. If you did not prepare your egg or your shank bone or things like that on before Shabbos, it didn't get done, so you need to do that on Yontif. You can do that on Yontif. You're allowed to cook your eggs on Yontif. You're allowed to cook your shank bone, but because you're doing it on Yontif, you have to eat it on Yontif. You can't just cook it for the sake of having it for your Seder if it's not going to be eaten. The only heter of cooking on Yontif is to eat on Yontif. So if you can't eat it at the Seder, you have to eat it the next day. You're not going
to
eat it that night. Yeah, if you cooked it on Yontif, you have to eat it that next night. Take care of it on Erev Yontif. Take care of it on Friday. And you don't have to worry about it. Same thing with checking the leaves for bugs. If you found a bug on Yontif, you're first checking on Yontif because you didn't have a chance to do it on Erev Yontif, so you couldn't just pick off the bug because of a boner problem. You'd have to actually cut away part of the leaf with the bug, since that really should have been done on Erev Yontif. And last thing is Kiddush and Havdalah will be set. You'll recite Havdalah that night in the Kiddush. There's no Bethamim. And just note, there's one little change in the Haggadah by the second Bracha, which I'll just throw in there. You'll pay attention for it right after Magid. There's a change, a flipping of the words, which you'll notice. Just pay attention for it because of the fact that it is Saturday night. There you go. Simple, right? Everyone's got it. No questions, no problems. And Rabbi Simon, I'll get your kitchen ready. for Yontif.
Okay.